bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight in the precious name that You gave Your Son, that name which is Your name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that He came in Your name, and we have come in Your name, and this night we do come in Your name. And Lord, we believe the message which You have come with in this hour. It was not the message of William Branham, but it was given to him. And after it was given to him, He gave it to us. And You said in the book of Deuteronomy that those things which are revealed belong unto the Lord our God, but those things, or those things which are hidden belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. So this, Father, is our message now. And we're declaring it the same as Your prophet declared it, and the same as You declared it to him. And Father, we ask that You would help us to be a good reflector, a good echo, Father, of Your word, and bring it forth in the way that You said it. And now, Father, as we study the word tonight, we pray that it would take a hold of our bodies, take a hold of our mind and spirit, Father, and bring us into a unity of the spirit, and bring us, Lord, into a better understanding of the day and the hour in which we live, and our positions as sons of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we're going to speak on the birth. It's from the masterpiece, paragraph 52. This is number 40 in our series. And paragraph 52, Brother Ram said, "Now remember that my opinion, the masterpiece, is the stroke that marred San Angelo's Moses masterpiece in the monument. And it was a stroke that cut the side of his masterpiece that brought out the bride." Now you all know that Brother Branham uses types in the way that he speaks. And here we find him speaking about the side of the first Adam when God took from his side Eve, a bride. But we can also see that we're dealing also with the second Adam and how that God took from his side when the side of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is also the body of God. And notice that when they pierced the side, his side on the cross, the blood came forth, and from his side a church was born by the blood-washed sacrifice. And now we know that the life is in the blood, and it takes blood to bring forth birth of any kind. John said in 1 John 5 and 7, he said, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now I want you to notice, he said, God, the Holy Ghost, and the Word are one, or the Father, the Holy Ghost, and the Word are one. But in the next verse, he doesn't put it that way. He says, "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree." They agree in one. Now, what is John talking about? Well, he's talking about birth. And life comes through birth. And in order to have birth, you must have the breaking of water, then the blood, and then the life comes forth, the Spirit. In 1 John 5 and verse 1, we read, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and we keep his word. For this is the love of God, that we keep his word, and his word is not grievous." Now John is talking about life, and not just any kind of life, but he's speaking about being born out from God. Therefore he's speaking of God life. And he says in verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." So there's your evidence of being born of God, is overcoming the world. "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So how do you overcome? Is it by actions that you do? No. It's by faith. Remember, Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave his life for me." So it's by his faith, the faith that he had to go to the cross. He says, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Who can overcome the world? He that believes and understands the Godhead. He that believes that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. "This is he that came by water and blood." He was born. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. "And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now what John is saying here is that a birth must come by water and then blood and then the Spirit. For the Spirit is what bears witness to the birth. You could have the water break. You could have the blood sac break. You could have the baby come forth. But if there's no spirit in that baby, it's a stillbirth. So the spirit is what bears record to the actual birth. So in dealing with spiritual birth, there must first be water, which is baptism, and also the washing of water by the word. In other words, the water is the word, which is also the light. And you know, if you walk in that light, as he is in the light, then the blood cleanses you from all sin. So then comes the blood. First the word, then the blood. Then comes the blood. Therefore, we are a blood-born children of God. You have heard it said of a blood-borne disease. We call them blood-borne pathogens or blood-borne disease. Well, what is a disease anyway? It's a germ of life. And what is anything that is living that lives by the blood and the life is in the blood? It's a germ of life. You came forth as a germ of life, you see, through the blood. But blood-borne to begin with. From the sign of this time, Brother Bramston, now notice this. When the baby is born, there's three things that constitute its birth. The first thing is normal birth. In a normal birth, you adults, listen close now. The young children will never catch it. But let's see. The first thing in a normal birth is water, then blood, then life. See? Now, that's the same thing that constitutes a new birth. Water, blood, and spirit. The elements that came from his body is what makes his body. See? And what are we? We're the body of Christ. It come from his body is the material that takes to make his bride. Because Adam had his bride taken from his body, Christ has his bride taken from the body. And when Christ died, there were three elements that came from his body. Water, blood, and spirit. Justification through believing. Water or sanctification through the blood. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now this last great step must come into perfection. That the Holy Spirit has to live in that church so perfectly that it'll make the head and the body unite together, see? That's the body. He is the head in the body. Now, we find that he promised in those last days that he would what he would have done, and we find it. Now, notice John then tells us in the next verse, verse 7, he says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." So what John is saying here is that they are three, but actually the Father, the Spirit, and the Word are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now notice he does not say that these three are one, but they agree in one. Notice the wording there. They agree in one. Therefore he's speaking of God life. And in order for there to be God life, there must first be water, which is justification by faith. We are washed by the washing water by the word, then blood, and then we are sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. And there must be a witness in our spirit. And the water and the blood and the spirit will all be in agreement, or else it's not a genuine birth. And if your spirit doesn't bear witness to the blood, and doesn't bear witness to the water, the waters of regeneration, then you don't have a genuine birth, just like in the natural. And then John speaks of this agreeing in one, and he calls it the witness of our spirit. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Well, what's the record that God gave of his Son? He said, "This is my beloved Son." He didn't say, "This is me." He didn't say, "I and my Son are one like your fingers one." He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is the one in whom I wish to dwell. This is the one in whom I have allowed to have a dual being. Hear ye him." Okay, that's the record. Amen. "He that hath the Son hath life." He that echoes the Son echoes life. How do you echo the Son? What did Jesus say concerning the works that he did? What did he say? John 5:19. What did he say? The Son of himself can do what? Nothing. But whatsoever the Father doeth, that the Son doeth likewise. In John 7, of the doctrine, he said, the doctrine is not mine. It's the Father's that sent me. He said, the things that I speak, the Father commanded me what to say. Therefore I speak. He said, it wasn't my will. I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And if you can echo those sentiments, if you can echo the Son concerning your actions, that you have none except for what God would show you, your speech that you have none except for what God would put in your mouth to say, doctrine you have none except for the doctrine of Christ, and will, that's the big one. That's the big one. Our will or God's will? Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned to let go of his will and to receive the will of God. And this is the record that God gave to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son, he that echoes the Son, that Greek word is echo, echoes life. He that echoes not the Son of God hath not life, echoes not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That's why John wrote these things. He said that you might know that you have eternal life. What good does it do you if you don't know it? And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. What did you say there? He said, this is the confidence that we have in him. How much confidence do you have in him? Do you trust him? This is the confidence that we have in him. Now, what's your confidence? That if we ask anything in his name, he will hear it. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. There you go. Is it begging? Is it pleading? Is it holding on? It's simply believing and having confidence. I want you all to get out your Bibles and underline this tonight. I want you to look at this carefully. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. So what is our confidence that we have in him? How does it work? That if we ask anything according to his will, which is his word, he's going to hear us. In other words, you give back to God what God has shown you in his word, and he promises that he will hear us. And notice, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Is that working in your life? Do you know that you know when you go to him that he hears you? Are you certain that he's hearing you? If you're certain he's hearing you, then you should also be certain that he's going to give you the desire that you ask for, if that desire can be found in his word. All you have to do is go back to God with his own word. I don't know how many times in my life I've done that. I have a need. I have a desire. I find it in the Bible. If I find it in God's Word, I see what God says about it, how He says about it. Then I give God back those words in faith, believing, and holding God to His Word. Father, You said, he that getteth a wife getteth a good thing. You said it. You said, Father, that if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. And Father, I have needs. And Father, You're my Father. And if You don't provide for me, as You promised You would, Your own word says that You're worse than an infidel. And I know, Father, You're not a man that You could lie. And there's no way You could be an infidel. Therefore, Father, I'm asking that You would provide these provisions for me in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. You watch what happens. You watch what takes place. Not because you mustered up some bulldog faith. It's not your faith anyway. It's the faith of the Son of God. And the Son of God has said, He said, Father, I pray that they would be one, even as You and I are one. And I pray, Father, whatsoever they would ask in My name, that You'd give it. It's already been asked for by Jesus. As Brother Branham says, sometimes God, He said, God wants, He wants more to give you than you want to receive. He said, you have not because you ask not. Or you ask amiss. In other words, you're asking it to heap, according to James, he says you're asking it to heap lust upon yourself. But if you ask amiss, that means you're asking not according to the Word. Ask according to the Word. Ask and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be found. Seek, and ye shall find. So we're talking about a birth. We're talking about the blood, the water, and the bearing witness with our spirit. Verse 15, and we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. Not you shall turn your nose up and walk away from that person. Not you shall shun that person and cast them out from your presence. But if any of you see a brother sin a sin that's not unto death. Now there is a sin unto death, he says. I do not say that we shall pray for it. It seems to me that in this message, and I don't mean to be negative, and I'm not going to be negative, but it seems to me in this message, if you don't believe it exactly the way the other person believes it, you've sinned the sin of death. That's the way you're treated. That's the way you're looked down upon. You've sinned the sin of death. You blasphemed. Well, I have a clue for you. You can't blaspheme if you're a son of God. You cannot blaspheme. It's impossible for the Son of God, a son of God, to blaspheme. The word blaspheme comes from a Greek word, bleptophema, and it means to do injury by words. Irreparable injury by word. You can't do it. Oh, you might say things that hurt. But as soon as they come out of your mouth, the Holy Ghost is there to correct you. And sometimes your own stubborn pride might not let you ask forgiveness. But that doesn't mean the Holy Ghost isn't there, tearing you up on the inside. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now that does not mean that you don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you don't fall. Sin is unbelief. It simply means that you don't disbelieve because There's nothing in you to disbelieve. You might not understand it, but you believe it anyway. It's not in your nature any longer to desire sinful things or to want to keep on sinning, because sin is disbelief. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. Who's him that is true? It's the Father. And we are in him that is true. Even, which means in the same manner that we are in his Son Jesus Christ. And this one, this is the one that we are in, even as Jesus was in him. And this one that we are in, that Jesus was in, he is the only true God. He is the Word. He is eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Isn't it interesting that in this day and age we have so many idols? They even have an American Idol. You know, it's a television show. I don't watch television, but I read American Idol. Now, what is John telling us here? That if we truly have an understanding of the relationship that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had with his Father, then we have the same relationship with Jesus as our brother and as God, as our Father. From the message influence, Brother Branham said, I told someone not long ago, they said, Brother Branham, I understand that you're Jesus only. And I said, you understand wrong. See? I said, I am not Jesus only. Yeah. Said, well, you baptize in Jesus' name. I said, that don't make me Jesus only. I said, Jesus only doctrine, they baptize for regeneration. I don't believe in that. I don't believe it. I don't believe in it. As soon as you're baptized in Jesus' name, that you remit your sins. I believe Peter said, repent first. Turn around. You missed the mark. Go back. Repent and then show to the world that you've been baptized. I believe that. I don't believe in being born again is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's being born again. We're reborn by the blood. Blood cell comes from, well, the life cell comes from the blood. You're baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body, but you're born by the blood. Absolutely, you're born by the blood of your Father. I'm born by the blood of my Father and by our Father Christ. Yes, sir, but you see, we don't believe that stuff. Because we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ don't make us Jesus only. Not at all, no, sir. Now, it's interesting here we find Brother Branham telling us that the new birth is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yet in the Church Age book, we find him saying in the Smyrnian Church Age, he says, what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. It's the new birth. It is the Spirit of God coming in and filling you after you have repented, having heard the word, and been baptized in water as an answer of good conscience towards God. Now, in reading these two different statements, it would appear that Brother Branham is saying two opposite things about the baptism of the Spirit and the new birth. In one record, we find him saying that they are not the same. And then in this, it appears that he's saying they are the same. But that is not what he's saying here. To better understand what he's saying, let's dig a little bit deeper into what he's saying. Notice in the message, Position in Christ, Brother Branham says, God gave his children new birth by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Notice he does not say that the new birth is the baptism, but that the baptism gives new birth because what is the baptism anyway, but the power of God upon the individual? But what if that power comes upon a person who does not have the gene of God in their soul? What then? Brother Brown said you could be baptized with the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still go to hell. From leadership, 1965, in fact, in December of 1965, said the choice of your conduct, you can't mix it now. You're either for God or you're against God, and the outward expression shows exactly what's on the inside. See? The cockabur, many of you think, well, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to heaven. That don't mean a thing that you're going to heaven. No, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still be lost and go to hell. The Bible says so. See? It's exactly right. For modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Brown said, now notice we find today that people, there's many people, just can't believe it. Even spirit-filled people. I'm going to give you one that'll choke you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that you're going in, not at all. Not on that. Don't have anything to do with your soul. That's the baptism. See, here's the inside soul here that has to come from God. But then on the outside, you have five senses and five outlets and inlets, and you contact your earthly home. The inside, you have a spirit, and in there, you have five outlets, your conscience and love and so forth, five outlets to that spirit. Remember, in that spirit, you can be baptized with the genuine Spirit of God and still be lost. It's the soul that lives. That was ordained of God. Didn't Jesus say, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, I cast out devils, done great mighty works, prophesied these great gifts of God? He said, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. Many will come in that day. So in one place, Brother Brown says, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new birth are not the same. Mm-mm. In the Church Age book, he says, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a new birth. And you have to ask yourself, okay, what exactly is the new birth? What exactly is the baptism? How can they be both the same? Because Brother Brown said Jesus is not God, and yet he's turned around and said Jesus is God. Right? So when Brother Brown says the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not the new birth, and yet he says the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a new birth, what's he saying? Remember, when you use the word Christ, you're speaking of anointing, anointed and anointer. And you better know the application of what's being said. Is he speaking of the anointer, which is God the Father? Is he speaking of the anointed, which could be you or I, or anyone for that matter? Or is he speaking of the anointing itself, which is the process by which God anoints? That is why we do not focus so much on the baptism of the Spirit as we do on the new birth, being born again filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I do not say that we shouldn't preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because I'm doing it right now. But in Pentecostal circles, there is so much emphasis on the baptism of the Spirit, and yet there is nothing hardly said about a new life consecrated to God. So we must have a balance between these two events. Now, if God is the Word, and He said, my words are spirit, then the more of His Word that we take into our hearts, the more of His Spirit we receive as well. That is why you could be baptized in your spirit every hour of your life and still go to hell. Because if your soul was not from God to begin with, it wouldn't matter how much you were baptized or how much you were anointed by God's Spirit, if there is no life in there to begin with, or if it never was ordained to life, then no matter how much contact it has with this life, it will never live. You could take a rock and soak it with semen, and that rock is never going to produce any fruit. And I don't mean to be crude, but what I'm saying is that you could take a rock and soak it with spora, which is, you know, the seed, agricultural speaking. It's not going to produce anything. That is why in Acts 13 and 48, as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. That's the common element, is their belief. In Acts chapter 13, verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, they did one thing. They believed. So if you're looking for a real genuine evidence that you have been ordained to eternal life, it will be found in your believing. And if you just can't find it in your heart to believe, then you stand in doubt of being born anew. From the church choosing law for grace, Brother Brown said, they try to bypass the very issue of the new birth. That's what takes place. Now, people can't think of this new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and so forth, How did you ever get here to come into existence without the natural birth? You couldn't do it. There's no way at all for you to do it. For you to come into existence and be able to walk around and to know without having the natural birth. Is that right? Well, the same thing it is in the spiritual. If you're not born again, you just don't know nothing about it. How could you take a man that was going to have a big bunch of people saying, I've got a business out here, a man going over to a cemetery, and just as hard as he could run, running to the cemetery, and you say, where are you going, sir? He says, oh, I just got a great big project out here, and I'm going over to get some people to help me. Some people to what? Some people to help me. Well, where are you going? To the cemetery. Well, I see all the names of the people in, over there in the places. But that's just what it is. It's just names. That's what we become, a bunch of Pentecostal names. That's right. We need something with life in it. You don't get life in a graveyard. You could preach to them all right, all night and all day, but there's nothing there that would move. So you see, we're dealing with life, God life. And the new birth releases the God life into your mortal body, preparing your mortal body for immortality. But if there's no resurrection, excuse me, if there's no representation in there to begin with, you can sit in church and listen to sermon upon sermon. You could listen to every single one of those MP3s, Brother Branham's, Brother Vail's, I don't care whose. Word upon word upon word, study, 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 study. And that anointing that is upon the preacher will do you no good, because it can fall on your own spirit, but it won't do your own spirit any good. It's got to fall on a gene seed that lays within. And therefore the rain can fall all at once upon the rock, and the rain is a doctrine, of course. And that rock will never bring forth any fruit. And neither can a man that is not ordained of God bring forth correct doctrine, which is the fruit of the season, because there's nothing there to begin with. From position in Christ, Brother Anson, now they're children. They're God's children. They're positionally in Christ. They become children by birth, and the new birth and the conversion itself is the Holy Ghost. You're not even converted till you get the Holy Ghost. That's what the scripture said. Jesus told Peter. And anyone read the scripture, he was justified by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, become a follower, an apostle. And Jesus gave him the keys of the kingdom. In John 17:17, he sanctified and gave them power and sent them out and cast out devils and things and sanctified them. Sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I sanctify myself because of them. Notice, after all of that, he said, Peter, when you've been converted, Peter already believed. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, when you're converted, when you're converted, when you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, strengthen the brethren. Now, to be converted means you've changed from one thing to another. From mortal to immortal, from sinner to saint, from earthbound to heavenbound. And from the token, Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit, the Word, has been quickened to you by the Holy Ghost to vindicate this age, that you are passed from death unto life. And now you are His. Oh, because He is, we have the right to all that He has purchased for us. Every promise in the Bible is yours. It belongs to you when this token is upon you and God has sealed you in. Now we want to check ourselves just for a moment. When God has given you the true baptism of the Spirit, then the life of Jesus Christ is within you. Now that's true. Every theologian will have to admit that to be truth. It's a new birth. You're born anew of the Holy Ghost. And because that God has did this, and you know that you're no good in yourself, and you accept what God has done, then He seals you into the kingdom by the Holy Ghost. And everything that Jesus purchased and promised you in the Bible is yours. It's your property because it's paid for. Amen. Life is mine. He paid for it. Life is yours. He paid for it. Healing is mine. He paid for it. Healing is yours. He paid for it. Amen. Freedom is mine. He paid for it. Heaven is mine. He paid for it. He's paid the price. Everything He purchased belongs to the man that holds the token. Amen. Amen. Pass my token upon the streetcar on that day of judgment, and I'll pass over you. Amen. Holding it, holding your confession in the Word that Jesus Christ has died for you, and when He does, it displays itself through you. Amen. In other words, He's giving us an illustration. If you buy a ticket to get on any transit, they've got to honor that ticket. And if you've got the token, God's got to honor it. Ask what you will. It'll be given. From Questions and Answers, Part 2, Brother Ram said in Hebrews, but trying to make it just briefly plain as I know how to make it, no, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you then have the new birth. When you believe on the Lord, you receive a new thought, a new life, but it isn't the baptism of the Holy Ghost, see? You've got the new birth when you believe you've got eternal life. It's a gift of God, that's a gift to you, through sovereign grace, by accepting the gift that God is giving to you, see? He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, has eternal life. That's the new birth. You're converted. It means you're turned around, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit puts you into the body of Christ, subject to the gifts for service. It doesn't make you any more a Christian. It just puts you into the body of gifts, see? Now, by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, we're all baptized into one body, says Paul. There are different gifts, and in this body is 9 spiritual gifts. In this body, you have to be baptized into the body to possess one of these gifts. They come with the body. Now, the way Brother Ram is speaking is that the baptism of the Spirit here is as though he is speaking of an anointing upon the individual. And it is this anointing upon you for service which brings you the power of God in your vessel. It's not the new birth. But the same Spirit that anoints you for service is the same Spirit that gives you new birth. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. See? But the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's saying, is not the same thing as the new birth. One baptizes you and can baptize you all day long. You can immerse yourself in that baptism, and if you don't have the gene seed, you'll never be born again anyway. So you can be baptized without being born again. They can't be the same thing. And yet, how are you born again? By the baptism of the Spirit. By God quickening the soul. Anointing the soul. You see? Now, the way that Brother Branham is speaking of the baptism of the Spirit is as though he's speaking of the anointing upon the individual. And it is this anointing upon you for service which brings you the power of God in your vessel. From the Message Countdown, Brother Branham said, so if a man sets on the thought of just justification, all that you have here, he's wrong. He's got to be wrong. And if the church who believes like the many of the Pentecostals that the Holy Ghost is it, that's all, just repent and get the Holy Ghost, that's still wrong. Because you've got to get sanctified. Sanctification in there to cleanse it before the Holy Ghost comes. If you don't, you leave out the blood, see? And the new birth, as people talk that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a new birth, now that's wrong. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from the new birth. The new birth is when you're born again, but the Holy Ghost is when power comes in that birth for service. That's exactly, see? The Holy Ghost is baptizing into the Holy Ghost. It's like people think, you know, as soon as, well, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, therefore I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. No, you're not. Brother Vail showed us years ago, he took a glass, he called the Keswick Conference doctrine. What they do is they take a glass, they fill it with rocks. They say, now, this is this rock, and then they pour water into the vessel, and so it comes up to the top. They say, now, is this glass full of water? Some people look at it and say, yeah, it is. No, it's not. Take out a rock. Is it full of water? No, the level went down. All right, why did the level go down? Because there was a rock displacing the water. Those rocks represent unbelief in your life. And every time you take one of those rocks out, it allows more room for more anointing, more baptism upon the soul, upon the life. Okay? So I hope you understand. There's water, there's blood, and there's Spirit. These three bear witness to what? To the life. From hidden life in Christ, he said, and that's the same thing it takes to make us make up the new birth. Water, blood, and Spirit. Justification by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansing up, the sanctification through the blood, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost to put you in the holiest of holies. Now, That constitutes the man who is separated from God and hid away in Christ. I say this with reverence. There's too many of us playing in the courts yet. See? We don't take our lives over with Christ to be hid away. The fruits of the Spirit proves it, you see. We might think that we are, but until your life measures up with that, that's what proves it, Jesus said. By their fruits you'll know them, not by their denomination, but by their fruits you shall know them. Do we think we are above correction by the Word? Do we think we are above the Scripture that says, be kindly affectioned one to another? Do we think that we are above the Scripture that says, wives, be in subjection to your husbands in all things? Or husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church? Do we think because, well, they're just my husband, they don't count? That's where you're wrong and on your road to hell, whether it be your husband or wife. And I say that with very much respect to God in saying that. There's too much carnality amongst the so-called believers today. The minute a girl gets married, she thinks she doesn't have to listen to her husband. She knows more about it than he does. Well, you might know more about it. That might be true. But if you fuss with them, you're wrong. And that is true. God would have stricken Sarah dead had it not been for Abraham. From sea is not air with a shuck. Brother Brown said, now we understand also that God is perfected in three. Now God is perfected in three. Grace is five. Seven is completion, like the world. God is perfected in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the perfection of the Godhead. All one God in three manifestations of three attributes of one office, or three offices in the one Godhead. Now, there's also three in just in perfection of the steps of grace to the church, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. That consists of the new birth. Just like a natural birth is typed by it, which a woman giving birth to a child, the first thing comes forth is water, then blood, then life. The Bible said in 1 John 5 and verse 7, or 7 and 5, I believe it is, said, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which was the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth, the Word, the water, the blood, and Spirit, water, blood, and Spirit. These three agree in one. And in closing, Brother Bram said from Questions and Answers in Hebrews, Part 2, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a different act from the new birth. One is a birth, one is a baptism. One brings you eternal life, the other one gives you power. It gives power into eternal life, see, to operate. Now you got it, okay, and all right. So what are we talking about? Well, Brother Branham was talking about Michelangelo's masterpiece. And he said, now remember that, to my opinion, the masterpiece is the stroke that marred Sant'Angelo's Moses' masterpiece in the mind. And it was a stroke that cut the side of his masterpiece that brought out the bride. And when Adam's rib, God performed the surgery, he took out a bride. That was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And when that surgery was performed on Jesus as he hung there on the cross and the spear pierced his side and the blood and water came out, so did the Spirit. Because that's when he gave up the ghost. And the Holy Ghost then was allowed, per se, to come back upon you and I. And that water and that blood that fell to the earth sanctified and cleansed the earth, of which years of my elements in these bodies of flesh came from. If I were to take holy water and sprinkle you like they did in the Old Testament, a little bit fall on you and you and you and you, it just might touch your head, Ron, but your whole body is sanctified by that washing of water. If the hyssop struck the side post and the lintel, the whole house was considered under the token, you see. So when the blood of Jesus and the water of Jesus came out of his side and the Holy Ghost came forth, a drop to the earth, it cleansed the earth. The elements that make up your body, my body, were cleansed at that point, sanctified, set aside for us, so that God would one day come down with a shout, quicken that gene seed that came forth from God to begin with, that soul of yours, and bring it into a union with God. And how do we know that we love God? What did John say? We have love one for another. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We ask you, Lord, that we might consider that which you have given us, and we pray that we meditate upon it. May it become part of us, Lord. May we lose our emotion to our own starchy selves, Father. May we lose our own will. May we not be opinionated. May we only have one opinion, and that is your opinion. What would you have us to do, Father? Whether it be looking at a painting, looking at clothing, looking at any act that we might perform. Father, what would you have me to do? Not what do I want. Not what do I think looks good, but what would be pleasing to you, Lord. That's where we should base every opinion that we make. And if we can't, then Father, may we have the respect for thee and the love for thy word to let our own opinion go. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If, Brother Ron and Michael will bring forth the elements. Brother Ron, if you would come up a minute. Sing a few songs right now while we're